Welcome,
Aquaba,
to the podcast.
The podcast, Aquaba.
So bienvenue.
I knew. I didn't see. I thought bienvenue sounds Ponzi. Aquaba sounds good.
Who are they?
Aquabage.
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 In this state, I've become really successful, right? But I haven't done any live comedy for about 10 years. I've sort of retreated. Yeah, no, it's not about comedy. This isn't about comedy. And then after about 10 years, I hear that a woman that I've loved all my life, and it's different each time I imagine it. It's a different person, because it's whoever I'm obsessed with at the time, is dying.
Gabby Roslin.
I hear that she's dying. Brilliant. And I put on a gig. It's my first gig in 10 years, and it's this. Everything's always a reunion. I know. I'm obsessed with reunions. I put on a gig. It's massive. Mm. It's at the O2 or something because it's the first time I've done it in 10 years, and I'm massive. And everybody turns out packed out to see this show, and I think it's my last one. And then I turn up, and right at the beginning, I just say, "I'm not doing stand up tonight." And there's this sort of hushed silence, and there's just there's a grand piano on stage, nothing else. I just sit down. And I play about 3 hours of like the tenderest love songs I know, and then right at the end I just say this was for, and then
Mandy.
I say her name. I do Barry Manilow. I'm Like a Bird by Nelly Furtado. I do them all.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a Sister Sledge cover I'm doing now.
Mr. Randy Newman.
I go through the Great American Songbook, and I play.
We love it. No.
And then later that night, I found out she's died.
Oh,
but I like to think. But I think she reads. She hears about it on the news.
On the way
it
to the wrong gig.
No, she's in hospital. She's dying at the time. Like there'll be a live broadcast. I think there's a live broadcast, and she sees it on a hospital.
Oh, did you know when you said that? I just imagined, like, it's the Hammersmith Apollo. It's you on the... I just imagined it's you on the piano playing On My Way to Rio. And for some reason, I imagine Randy Newman on the guitar accompanying you. And then just above it is this big screen of this woman with, like, tubes coming out of her nose. I just imagine being in the audience to that for 3 hours. It's like comic relief. And you just go jacking her progress. It's been baby.
Whack, she whack. Actually flatlines
you
after
that. You put the line in the coconut.
She's flatlined.
So she dies about an hour and a half through. And the entire crowd sees her. And I go, I've prepared 3 hours for this woman. I will do no less.
It's what she would have wanted.
This is the girl from Ipanema.
Randy Newman on guitar.
Randy Newman doesn't even play guitar.
Mr. Mick, I know, that's what's funny. He's wearing a Hawaiian shirt as well. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Mick Hucknall. She's been the zips going up on her body.
And it was always going to finish with it was always going to finish with The Dogs and the Horses by The Divine Comedy, which is a song about saying goodbye to a loved one. And I think about that all the time. I would love to see that gig.
It's just like, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Peter Gabriel. And he
comes. Sledgehammer.
He's Sledgehammer. Oh, but this, I don't know if I imagined this, but I don't think I did. I think it was, he was doing a gig.
Peter
where
Gabriel.
He was on a Segway, right? And he's doing Sledgehammer. And as he's singing he's going, just doing up and down the stage on the Segway. Mm. I wanna be. Duh, and then he'd turn around, sledgehammer, and go the other way, which is the most smug way to perform that song. I wanna be the other way, sledgehammer.
A while ago, you know those posters about undeclared income that HMRC put.
Peter Gabriel comes out in a Segway. You got fucking Mick Hucknall on a Sinclair C5. Pretending to row.
A while ago, HMRC did some of those we're closing down on undeclared income posters. You know the ones where it's a big grey poster and there's a hole in the middle and someone's eyes looking through and it says, declare your tax. We are closing anyway. And I couldn't take them seriously. Like, I declared self-employed in August, so I need to do it next year. And I couldn't take this poster seriously because it looked... The eyes were exactly the eyes of Peter Gabriel in the Sledgehammer video. And I didn't find it threatening. Well, I just thought, like...
What a way to negotiate the world. Chelsea, see that? And you just... all I can see was the Sledgehammer.
All I could see was Peter Gabriel in the Sledgehammer
video. Well, my favourite...
Like, to be honest, I welcomed the idea of him coming to discuss my tax. I thought that... I thought that sounded great. I would love to sit and chat about my tax with Peter Gabriel.
I'd love... Two favourite posters I ever saw on the tube. One was, there was a film called out Jumper.
Yeah, I remember that. I didn't see it, but I remember the film.
That was Hayden Christensen, his name is? And it's called Jumper. And the poster said, like, if you were a jumper, you wouldn't need to catch a train. And I just saw that, and I did, or something like that, and I didn't know about the film.
I was like, what is that an advert for?
I didn't know what it was. I was looking at it, going, if you were a jumper, you wouldn't need to train. And I.
The thing is, they must have known when they chose that title, surely. That is a word.
I don't know, there was a film called The Last Airbender. There was these ones about advertising for the Times, and there's one of, like, I think it was Katie Price on the horse, can't remember.
Yeah.
But there's one of a fat ginger kid with his top off, and he's looking miserable. And I remember looking at that guy, he's going to really thank his parents someday. That's the beginning of his portfolio. it's the Times, and in the middle, it's just him looking miserable with his top off, ginger kid. But I said, like, if you were a jumper, you wouldn't need
if you were a jumper, you wouldn't need to get straight. But it's true. Whichever way you look at it, actually, well, depends who's wearing it.
It's not wrong. Bob was telling me last night about some guy from Holland stalked the woman, the blonde in ABBA.
Right.
And would just
see the Nazi baby? Or is that the other one? Because one of them's a Nazi baby and hasn't been seen in decades. Doesn't matter, go on. Sorry.
It comes up in the concert. Ladies and gentlemen.
She hasn't been seen in 50 years.
Goose-stepping all the way from obscurity.
I can't remember her name. I can't remember any of their names. No, I remember
one was called Anna.
Benny Bjorn, Anna. Another
Ingrid.
A. No, it's an A, isn't it? Because it's Anna.
Angrid.
Astrid. It could well be Astrid. That's sort of up Swedish, isn't it? Asterix. Goose stepping all the way from
obscurity. Why did I say Ingrid? That's Asterix retarded. Because Ibba.
Abby.
But, Anna, Bjorn, Benny, Anna.
Text in with your suggestions.
Do you know what? I'm being taken underwear shopping today.
Are you?
I'm just watching her buy underwear.
Really?
That's what friends are for, isn't it?
Yeah.
Someone said to me that in the week, accused me of saying, do you ever have female friends who you don't sleep with? And I've got these two women in their late 30s.
Yeah.
Who I'm very good friends with. Fellowship I have with them. One of them's taking me underwear shopping. I'm just going to watch it by. It was her suggestion.
How's your underwear supply doing?
But
to
it's.
You?
I've said much worse than that.
Yeah, no, you're
I think,
right.
The thing is, I do have female friends, but they're very tolerant because even if I don't make a move of them, I still say horrendous shit.
I have quite a lot of female friends.
Comes with the territory.
I have quite a lot of female friends that I don't.
Just comes with the territory. What? Twat. No me, no my ways. How's your underwear drawer? Most of the stuff I listen to, most of the music I listen to.
But you don't like Bobby McFerrin?
No, I just don't like that. I don't like the songs he wrote.
Okay.
I like, I thought his version of Blackbird is very
nice.
I've
not heard that. Don't Worry, Be Happy, he wrote that.
Yeah, I love it.
That's a beautiful
What's
song.
What's a war film without that playing over, you know?
The final sequence.
Platoon would have been sucky.
Well, not even over the final sequence. Like, the film ends in silence, and then that just
Ladies
plays,
and gentlemen,
that just plays over the rolling
Bobby
credits.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Bobby McFerrin.
with her on the life link.
She's at the mortuary. She's like they're doing an autopsy.
Ladies and gentlemen, to finish things off, Mr. Bobby McFerrin. Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it.
No, he's doing audience work. Yeah. Right, you're the left side, you're the red team. You're the blue right side, you're the blue team.
All our organs have been taken out by this point.
Right, the left side. I'm gonna get real.
I'm just in the back playing
like Freddie Mercury.
I'm just playing arpeggios.
He's
on the piano
only guy that could have done that other than Freddie Mercury. Bobby McFerrin at Live 8.
I saw Teich van Leer do it a few weeks ago.
What?
I saw Teich van Leer do that a few weeks ago. I went to see Focus live in Islington Assembly Hall, and they were great. They played all their songs.
What was Focus's big song?
Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, I think it was on the Monsters of Rock album.
They're great. Anyway, he did this long sort of middle bit where he just came out on front. He's huge now. He looks like Jabba the Hutt. And he comes out front, but with a leather cap, which is an image. Mm. And then he did little kind of improvised bit, call and response. So he'd go deedle deedle da pop, and then the whole room would go deedle deedle da pop. And he did that for 15 minutes, and it got tiresome actually. But after 10 minutes, I went play Sylvia, and then he was like 5 more minutes. And then
I've earned this, young man.
And then 5 minutes later, he went and played.
He's playing along to the drums. It's this little routine where they've
got. There's a 10-minute drum solo. The thing is, Focus are great. I love Focus, and I think they're great. But they played 8 songs, right? And it lasted 2 hours. And most of them were extended improv solos and jams. And I thought you could cut all the jams and do 5 more songs. They didn't play Rock and Rio, which I love. I mean, now I'm just getting geeky. But, you know.
No, I'm just saying, I completely agree.
Indulgence only goes so far before it becomes. No, virtuosity only goes so far before it becomes indulgence. I was going to say indulgence only goes so far before it becomes virtuosity. But that's the opposite of what I mean.
Yeah.
Anyway. They were good.
I saw John Martin.
Really?
Live.
Solid Air.
Solid Air.
Wait, was that him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's dedicated to Nick Drake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If I ever make a documentary, it's going to be about Nick Drake.
I thought you were going to do it about Desiree
DuBonnet. It's very true. One of those is either be about Nick Drake or this transsexual singer in Hungary.
Yeah.
It's going to be.
Do both. Find a link and just do a documentary about them both.
Do you know what? I'd like to think I'm the only person in the middle of that Venn diagram.
I've seen Carnival for the first time last year, and some friends of mine were going, and they invited me. And I remember when I was about 16, I went with my mum to Portobello Road Market, and I remember it being quite busy because it was a Saturday, and there were a lot of stalls,
and
there were a lot of antiques, and there were a lot of nice, like you know, nice food and all that kind of thing. I think I came away from that thinking that that was the Notting Hill Carnival. Because I remember it was in the area, it was busy, there was a lot going on, I loved it, I had a great time. So last year some friends of mine went, we're going to the Notting Hill Carnival, would you like to come? I said, I'd be delighted, I loved it last time.
I'd be delighted.
And then they said, we're all getting some E, do you want any? And I went, I don't think that's appropriate for the Notting Hill Carnival.
Do you know me?
I said no, because I was remembering it as a street market, right, so I was like, say E at a street market.
Are you imagining Bedknobs and Broomsticks? That's what I think of with Portobello Road.
Yeah,
Portobello Road.
Anyway, so I turned up right, just really.
And the guy who does the body thing, and the kids love it. You know, the guy who does like the body thing.
I've not seen it.
It's like the funny mirrors. Seen.
But I turned up basically.
They can't. They can't hear what I'm doing, but I'm basically doing the guy who does the snake body thing. Does the body? Kicks his leg out. Kicks his leg out, and the kids love it. That was before stand-up comedy, before the Beatles. We had back in those days. Was that entertainment?
That was like the 70s.
Was that entertainment? This guy doing the snake thing.
Oh, I see what you mean.
And the kids loved it.
But
you thought
I got there expecting like a street, like an antique market, and we were going to browse around a market, and there'd be a bit of live music, maybe. And I was walking down the road from a nearby tube because it said, don't go to Notting Hill station, it'll be too busy. So I went to another one, I was walking down the road, and I just started hearing this, like, thudding. And I thought, that's weird.
It's
what's
like the
that?
Beginning of Jurassic Park.
And then I rounded a corner, and I saw a guy screaming at a woman, and then he smashed her head against a wall. And then I thought, oh, that's not what I want to see when I'm going on market.
And then wait, what?
This
when
man,
I'm going on market?
When I'm going to market, I don't want to see a man smashing a woman's head against a wall. So I said, are you okay? The guy ran off. I said, are you okay? She went, yeah, I'm fine. Don't worry about it. It's the carnival. And I was like, okay. And I was like, wow, this carnival's changed since last time I was here. And then I kept going. And then there was just one corner where I turned, and there's a million people fighting. And it was
their fights just, break out.
It was horrible. Like,
I haven't been to the last.
I saw
week,
a woman being. I saw
August,
a woman being restrained
Edinburgh,
by police,
so
just screaming. Her, and like, basically, it looked like a friend of mine who wasn't enjoying it either said, "It's you know those films where a meteor's coming, and everyone just abandons hope. You know, have you seen those films where they and then they just sort of revel in the streets and there's shit everywhere? That's what it looks like. It looks like the world's ended." It looks like the day after the world's ended and people have just given up. And I saw a sign on a door.
Shit's everywhere.
I saw a sign on a door that said, because there were these portaloos, piss pouring out of them. All like, the street was flooded.
Like the Shining.
Yeah. And I went past a flat and on the door, the open door into this flat full of drunken revellers. And on the front
drunken revellers who've been a roving.
On the front door, there was a sign that said, clean toilet, £5 for use. And my faith in people just left me. And then we all went back to the flat for jerk chicken, and I said, guys, I'm going
home. It's funny, look, the jerk chicken...
It's overpriced. Really, it's £8 for a lump of jerk chicken.
Like jerk... Oh, see, even that...
Very pricey.
The gay chicken was...
The gay chicken.
it was a piece, bit of jerk chicken and some just... It wasn't even...
Shit rice. It was just shit rice.
It was just... Jerk chicken. It was just yellow
rice.
Well,
I've got nothing
rice.
Wrong with jerk
It was oily
chicken.
Rice.
I quite like jerk chicken, but, like, £8, and people were having a lovely time, and it was just... It's just a fight.
That's
just
more
the biggest
expensive than Nando's.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway...
More expensive than... No,
that's the loss. That's
no.
So imagine if
no.
we finished on that.
No,
that's
no.
more expensive than Nando's. Outro.
I'll tell you... Right.
Thanks for listening.
My... Do you remember you can see like these Red Bull cars where it's basically you can get a car for free if you go around driving a Red Bull car?
Right.
Like it's got a can of Red Bull on it.
Do you get a Red Bull with that?
I don't know. I'm sure there's a bumper pack. Literally a bumper pack that comes with it. Yeah. But my mate at uni said, oh, I've got a car. I went, oh, that's cool. I went, how'd you get the car? He said, well, it's like a conditional car. I went, all right, so I've got to advertise for it. So I just thought, I don't know what I imagined, but I didn't imagine this Red Bull car, right? And we went to a festival in this Red Bull car, right? And basically, people thought we were selling Red Bull. So we used to get, we would, because our tent was about 20 feet from the car, like some, just by some mad thing, there was like the fence that had the car park.
Yeah.
And then our tent was right near the car. And for some reason, people thought that that car was selling Red Bull. So all weekend, because we got to this festival and we're like, what are we doing? We hate this music. It's awful.
What festival was it?
It was like Muse were headlining, right? Yeah. And I went for Muse were headlining, and I went and saw 5 minutes, and I thought, oh, yeah, this is very visually spectacular, but I never want to see young people again, right? And so we come back to the tent, and literally, we're just hanging out of the tent, but we couldn't because there was always, at least, there was always 10 people by where our tent was, trying to buy Red Bull. But they were fucked. It was like people who had lost all their reasoning faculties. So for the whole weekend, we're at our tent, right? Constantly telling people, no, we're not selling Red Bull. Right? There was... what was weird is, you know, I said, like, you know the birds?
Yeah.
I said, like, when I lost my mind in the drugs earlier. Yeah. I don't know if it's in this book. But I said, there's one bird, and then there's two birds.
And then there's three birds.
And it was like the birds, but with this, with the Red Bull car, right? And at first, there's this one guy called... the guy in the tent next to us was called Malcolm. And But this guy that came round was like, he was like a drugged up version of Malcolm, so we called him Extreme Malcolm. And he was he came and he was basic. We just saw him. We were just talking about, like, you know, talking about life. And then we saw him, and he was just, it looked like he was having a hard time of it, because he had his hands on the fence, like his fingers clawing at the fence.
Yeah.
And he was there for like a good hour. Right, and he was just, and we thought he was either dry retching or whatever, or he was just having a bad time. And then we went, "Oi, Extreme Malcolm," and he turned around and he went, "What?" And he went, and he said, "When are they getting back?" "When are you get what? When is you get when the Red Bull people getting back?" And he went, "That's our car." "Oh, I feel silly. how?" "Much as the Red Bull." Right? But no, we're not. That's just, it's a car, mate. We're not selling Red Bull. We're at the festival, just, you know, talking about life. And it's like, all right, then. How's Red Bull? Like, you know, so he didn't process it. And then we thought, we finally convinced him. About an hour later, he brought people back with him, saying, yeah, this is where you get the Red Bull. Right? And that, for the whole festival. I don't know why I'm telling this story. It's a really shit story. But basically, 3 days straight, we didn't go into the music thing unless we, like, because we hated everyone.
Yeah.
We didn't go, so we just stayed at our tent religiously, like, watching dogmatically, people. Right? But, like, honestly, four or five people at least an hour for 3 days, trying to reason with, have you tried reason with a drunken man? Reasoning with them, explaining to them, we're not selling Red Bull. And we went to this festival really happy, right?
Yeah. How did you leave?
On the way back, there was, because we were driving back, we didn't talk to each other. And that's sort of it. The drive back was about 3 hours, something like that. Not one word was said between us, right? And then we get back to uni. And I get my bag out, and we nodded at each other, right? And we were best mates. We nodded at each other, and we didn't speak until the next year of university. And this was the weirdest.
Because of that.
Yeah, I haven't thought about this in years, but that is the weirdest way to, like, because we were like brothers. Well, we thought we were. And then we had this Red Bull Festival weekend where we were just constantly... It's funny what can get between friends. Like, sometimes it's a woman. Sometimes it's literally 300 drunk people trying to buy Red Bull. Yeah, it completely fucked us up.
Back when, you know, when they were the terrorists, Was there an English flight that was bombed or something?
What, 9/11? You think?
No. It was in the aftermath.
Lockerbie.
I can't remember. Basically, there was a year.
What, it would have been, what it year would, are you talking about?
It was around 2005, and there was, like, I mean, obviously everything got worse on flights.
Are you talking about there was a
big terrorist scare in around 2005 in the airports.
Glasgow.
I can't remember.
It's the water thing.
Yeah, it was where you couldn't take water onto flights anymore, and I can't remember whether there was a bomb or. The shoe bomber in 2005, and we were supposed to be going to Oslo, and we did go to Oslo, but we were supposed to get a flight that was cancelled because this happened, this terrorist thing. So instead, they put us on the Eurostar for free, and then we had to get a flight from Paris.
I love how we were just there trying to remember all the terrorist attacks of the last 10 years. Go Lockerbie,
shoe bomber.
What are you, shoe bomber, Lockerbie?
So we ended up on the Eurostar, free, and they said you'll get a free first-class meal to make up for the inconvenience. And I thought, well, great, they've done very well in this situation. Obviously, there's a lot of trouble going on, they're doing their best. Right. We got on the Eurostar. After about half an hour, this voice said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we're very sorry, but we can't now provide the free first-class meal. There's been, obviously, lots of last-minute moving of things around."
Because everyone said, yes, I want a first-class meal.
We didn't see this happening. And I think, we were all upset. We were all like, that means we can't eat now. But I think my response was like, well, there's been this big terrorist scare. Obviously, things are going to be be tricky. My dad was livid, right? My dad was absolutely livid. And he marched me up to the buffet car, and he picked up two pies, and he went to the counter and said, I'm not paying for these pies. And they went, sorry? And he said, these pies, these are my pies, and I'm not paying for them.
My snail is starving.
He said, what do you mean? He said, we were entitled to a free first-class meal, and I'm going to take advantage of that, and I won't be paying for these pies. And then she said, oh, well, I don't know what to do. And so he said, Jos, go and sit down. So I went back to my seat, and then about 10 minutes later, he just came back down the tray being like, I have acquired these pies, really loudly, to everyone on the carriage. He was like, these are my pies, and I won't be made to pay for the pie to which I'm entitled. And then he sat down with me and was like, eat your pie. He's great. He's a good guy, my dad.
Well, I've met your dad. He's lovely.
He's a lovely guy.
He came to the weirdos Halloween gig that we did, yeah.
That was fun.
But he comes to a lot of your stuff, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's good like that.
He seems really lovely.
He's good.
My folks have ever seen me do one thing. It was that Hook thing last... Yeah, that was really sweet.
Yeah, I liked that.
Ridiculously supportive. We'd be lucky, haven't we?
Yeah. Good parents.
I don't know. Do you think we'd be good parents?
I think we'd be interesting parents.
I don't mean like us two.
Couple of gay dads. Imagine. I think if you and I raised a child together, I think it would be the most maladjusted child around.
Because
God. Both of us have specific flaws.
Let's take this
I think both of us have specific flaws that if we had a mother there...
There's no mother, George.
What I'm saying is, if we had a mother there who could temper out those flaws, that would be all right. But I think our flaws are sort of opposites. So go any child then. We raise together would just end up
let's,
with, come with the worst
let's
of
talk,
both
let's
of us.
Talk it through. Let's talk it. Let's edit out all my shit about my dad. And we'll talk. Right. Okay. We've got a chap. What colour is it? How tall is it?
White. It's white. It's white. It's called Neve.
Because I assumed we were adopting.
Yeah. Yeah,
I assume we're adopting.
But I think if we were to adopt,
so we've adopted a white kid.
Yeah,
Aryan or slightly French.
Dark-haired,
dark. So it looks like it's a tricolour boy. We've adopted a little tricolour boy.
Girl, I think it should be a daughter.
Do you think? Right.
I'd rather have a daughter than a son.
Raise a boy. We we should not be allowed to raise a woman. I mean, I could just about raise a daughter if there's a woman there, or if you're not there, right? I could be trusted. Because I'm a youth worker, I could be a good dad. But if there's two of us, and I see this is a platonic parenthood, right? Let's talk it through. All right. So you're okay. So it's a little white French girl,
Irish.
A little white Irish girl. Does she remain Irish throughout her upbringing with us? Where are we raising her?
SW4.
Where's that?
It's where I live.
I was thinking Wimbledon.
It's Clapham, Brixton. Clapham,
is
Brixton,
that SW17?
SW17 is Tooting. That's where I used to live.
Well, then what's SW1?
Well, it's Wimbledon.
It's Wimbledon. Let's raise her at Wimbledon.
Okay, Wimbledon
Let's
Common.
Raise a tennis pro. Let's send her off to Barcelona when she's 15. It doesn't matter where Wimbledon is. So we're raising a little Irish
girl,
dark-haired raven.
White girl.
White girl.
Called Niamh, which is N-I-A-M-H, which I love. The fact that it's that.
You are definitely the bitch. Which I love. I don't know how I feel about this. But then, do you know what? This is the most... Ironically, this really sounds like a real unplanned parenthood. Right, okay, so we're raising a little Irish raven of a girl called Niamh, who is how old when we acquire her?
Four.
Adopt her? She's four?
Because the first 4 years, you're not missing anything.
Do you know what? There's a lot of parents who wouldn't tell you that. All right, so we have suddenly adopted a four-year-old Irish girl.
I have a recurring...
We're not even gay parents.
We're just two guys who think it might be a fun project.
Huh? Who's the third guy? It can't be John. Two men and a four-year-old.
I have a recurring...
It's not a baby. It's two men and a four-year-old.
I have a recurring fantasy about a child... let's qualify that very quickly. Because I always used to... Like we were talking about last week, I always project myself into these imagined sort of things where I'm a divorced father. I used to have... I'd have a country house and the Neve would be playing outside.
What did the wife get?
She's in a flat somewhere. She's in Peckham. And Neve will be outside playing in the garden. And then I have an image where I step out onto the veranda. I'm in a full suit and tie. Because
you're looking like Colonel Sanders at this point.
Sexton Ranch. I just open the door and I'm in my full suit and tie. And I go,
it's Kentucky,
Neve.
It's not Texan.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I go, Neve, there's a storm coming. Get inside. And then, crucially, the crucial point of this fantasy is that I then go back inside. I shut the door behind me. I wait for her to come in. I shut the door behind me. I go, Neve, there's a storm coming. Get inside. Shut the door. Go back to my reading. She finishes.
In your suit.
She finishes playing whatever she's doing. Then she comes in, lets herself in, goes upstairs. I go, dinner will be later, probably.
Where were we raising you? I forget. SW4.
Wimbledon.
No, where did you say?
SW1 in the end, wasn't it?
No, where was you? Where did
I
you say?
I said SW4. Were you just saying that because it would mean I wouldn't have to move.
But so that is Brixton.
Yeah. Well, it's in Acre Lane, in between Clapham and Brixton.
So now we know where you live. Right. So okay. Why have I just gone along with this? I was just gonna. What else?
Yeah.
What
you'll else? Be all gladly move from Barking.
Yeah. Okay. So I've now got a four-year-old Irish girl. I'm living
flat
in Brixton, and a flat in Brixton with a. For some reason, I don't know. I just imagined a door that leads you, like you'd fall down the flats. It's the outside because I just keep imagining like the cartoon door that you know.
Yeah, that goes nowhere.
And that's how we lose. But there's a little cat flat. okay, so there's so we've got so this is I don't know why am I I'm really getting stressed over this.
Tormenting yourself.
Okay, so how can we stop her being a slut? That is my one. I know. Look, let's be honest, right? Let's be honest, right? Mm. Every guy, you're thinking about raising a son. What do you think about?
Teach it respect.
Okay.
Teach it.
SW1 is Chelsea.
Oh.
SW1's Chelsea,
SW1 is
mate.
Chelsea, apparently.
All right. So.
I say if I'm raising a son, teach it manners. If I'm raising a girl, make her pretty.
Make her pretty.
If it's a, if
you
you're
really, no, you are definitely the bitch in this relationship. I love it. Make her pretty.
Oh my god! Right, it sounds like you're buying all her clothes, man.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Mini Bowden. That's where I'd go. I'd go to Mini Bowden.
Well, apparently you know where to go, because I would just take it to Oxford Street.
I think if I had a child, I wouldn't buy it little shoes. You know the tiny shoes that you buy for babies? I wouldn't buy those because she's going to grow out of them.
You're very,
but very quickly, very
how
quickly.
How big are the shoes you're buying them?
Well, you know those tiny little shoes that you buy
for
babies?
No, how big are the shoes you're buying? Oh, she's four?
Well, she's going to be in a pram.
Or unless we're going to do that thing with her feet, where we keep her feet small. Keep her feet small and then put rings around her neck. She's got a long neck and short feet.
I just buy her adult-sized welly boots.
Growing feet.
She peek around the top
and
of
you can
it
take these
around.
Off on your wedding day when you're very five. No, because, okay, so I was thinking that if it was a boy... Mm. I would. I'm not saying he has to be a good sports fan, but he can't be physically inept unless he is. In which case, I would love him like anyone else.
I'm physically inept. I had my okay. Can I
you
tell
know
you?
No, that's not what I meant. But thank you.
In year nine. I had my school report for PE from Mr. Bowman, said, Jos's cheerful enthusiasm unfortunately cannot disguise his difficulty in acquiring or applying any practical skills whatsoever. That was in PE.
Yeah.
I was physically.
Did you tell him about the dancing tree?
Didn't tell him about that.
Are we going to make a 4-year-old should already.
No. Oh, yeah.
What can a four-year-old do?
Talk, walk.
Talk, walk. Eat. We want a walkie-talkie child, please. Learning to read, they're learning at that stage.
You'd give them the Oxford Reading Tree with Biff and Kip and Chipper.
She'd find it really easy to learn a language at that age.
Biff and Kipper and Chip.
We'd make a teacher language. If we can make her learn a language, what is it going to be? Mandarin's going to be very useful to her. We'll make her watch, like...
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Old Boy. That's Korean.
What's it? Infernal Affairs, whatever it is. Make her watch all the fight films. I think, this is what I was going to say. She doesn't have to be a sports fan, but she does have to have a black belt in something. Seriously. She's got to have a black belt. Because one of my chief regrets...
Americad.
One of my... You can have a black belt in Americad. What? This is... So, you can teach her... how to dress and make her pretty, and please,
you'll be
and I am going to
America
develop my own martial art called America. But I am looking forward to nothing. I'm sorry, I'm getting up for this. I'm looking forward to nothing more. All right, you stand up.
Right,
right. I know that you can't hear this, but I just want to act it out for my own self. Now you stand behind the desk. Okay. Right. Now I want you to do that. Do the thing with that. But you're punching your arms. Stand there behind the desk. Punching the arms. All right, for the audio thing, I am now walking back and forth across it with my arms behind my back. I want to live that moment of just teaching my daughter. Teaching. I want to live that moment every day for years.
I'd mainly just try and teach her to respect men.
To respect men.
Yeah, I think there's not enough respect for men.
I would want to... not enough respect for men. To be honest, mate, you're not going about it very well with this.
I got a text yesterday saying, why can't more men be like you? I think I'm a good role model.
Who's
for...
Who's that from? John?
Yeah. I say okay. A text.
We've got to wrap it up soon. All right,
I say
cool.
A text, he actually turned to me in the middle of Sigur Rós and
just
said
so
that.
So to end with this, I'm going to teach... my daughter, my own martial art.
I'm going to make her pretty.
Look, okay.
And listen, go to mini
I just want to be honest, suppose, because I probably sounded awful saying this. Like, if you do... I don't want my daughter to be a female version of me, right?
I specifically want mine to be a female version of me. I really want that.
She probably will
just
be,
because
right?
I'd be fascinated to see what that would be like.
I would like, because I think, apart from me, she's going to be intelligent, right? Mm. She's going to be pretty, whatever. I hope she is pretty. I wouldn't want her to be like, she's got real schnoz. She's got everything but schnoz, and then she keeps asking for surgery. And then we end up having counselling about it. But I would like her to have some sort of physical skill. Mm. I don't mean like carpentry or whatever. I mean like she's better at Americad than I am. by the end, it's me doing the punching while she's walking back and forth. She wanted to respect me, but I would like her to have the self respect.
Yeah,
is more important than
respect.
They're both
others.
Important.
You got respect
all
everyone.
Respect, yes, but not respect.
In the Muppets, Jason Segel says, "You always believe in other people, but that's easy. And sooner or later, you have to believe in yourself because that's what growing up is."
And then the Muppets just look at each other, and then they look back at him, going, "You fucking retarded."
Thanks for listening to the What Not podcast. We're on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube, so listen to us there. And please remember to comment, rate, and subscribe. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a beautiful day wherever you are.